Praise God. Well, last week, on the first Wednesday night of each month, you know, we have leadership focus, and last week we kind of went a little different direction, but, you know, after I look back at what happened, I think we got the heart of our message out anyway, so I'm fast-forwarded to this week, and we're going to go on with what God's given me for this month. And this month, you've heard us talk about it, or heard of the announcement, or maybe read in the bulletin, that I'm going to be doing a series called Taking Care of Business. Taking care of business, and I know some people aren't able to be here tonight because of various reasons, and some people aren't here because they don't want to take care of business. No, I'm just kidding. But, you know, whatever business you're in, and you may think, you know, I'm not in business, but, you know, whatever, if particularly if you are in business or have been in business, there are certain practices that everybody has to follow, every business has to follow in order to succeed. They're just, it doesn't matter if you're, you know, Brian Lewis is here. Brian has had a business where he was a husband for hire. I'm not quite sure what all he did with that, but I'm sure it was on the up and up. And but his brother makes guns. His brother's a gun maker, and that's a business. It's a craft, but it's a business, you know. And you know, Ingrid has worked in graphics and works for a company, and her, she has a part in what the company does. But then on the side, she's also been doing her own business on the side, and there's things that are involved in that business. And I grew up in a family business, and I know a little bit about business. I'm trying to forget most of what I knew because it was so ingrained, you know. It's so ingrained. I remember when we opened the church, when we started the church, I remember our first Sunday was our grand opening service. You know, and I was expecting, like, that we'd have a big tent out front and streamers and, you know, clowns, because, you know, you're used to that kind of stuff when you're trying to get a crowd in a furniture store. You do anything. Offer terms, or, you know, no payments for 3 years or something. And we had our grand opening, and we had our customers, and I could not get away from calling people that came to the church customers. And, you know, my brother and sister-in-law, they're doctors, and they call their customers patients. And so it's like we'll be talking about something, and they'll call it patients, and I call them customers, and you know, you may call them a client, but they're all the same thing, you know. They're all the people we serve. Congregants, I guess you would be to me. But anyway, you know, just some things about business I've been thinking of, that there are, no matter what kind of business you may be in or be working in or have been a part of, there are certain things that every business has to do to succeed. And no matter how good you are at your craft, or no matter how good your product is, if you don't take care of your business, you're going to fail. You're going to go down. Doesn't matter what else you're doing, there's certain things that you got to have covered. And that's how it is with being a Christian. There's certain things you got to have covered. You know, Deborah, who's so faithfully running our sound while Rick is out of town. Didn't know you had it in you, Deborah, but you're doing pretty good. Deborah is an accountant, and so Deborah knows what I'm talking about. There are generally, you know, there are general accepted accounting principles that every business needs to follow. You need to keep some kind of financial records. If you're in business, no matter what you're doing in business, you need to keep these records, and you need to pay your taxes. This is just sound wisdom. This is just something you need to do to take care of business. Well, we have a Department of Labor that set up standards and laws, and you got to meet those laws that the Department of Labor set up. If you don't, it doesn't matter how good your product is. If you aren't taking care of your business, you're gonna go down. Here's a good one. It doesn't matter how much money you have in the bank. If you don't actually pay your bills, eventually you're going to have a problem. You're going to have many problems. And so there are just some things, you know, and by the same token, if you don't collect money owed you, eventually you're going to have some problems. You know, some people, I've known of business people, they were selling and their business was going so well. They were selling, but they weren't following up on their collections. And they were, you know, as far as their written sales, that number was real high. But as far as the actual money that was coming into the account, it wasn't enough to sustain the business. So there's just some basic things, and no matter what kind of business you're running, if it's a service business, whatever it is, you gotta have some things covered. And no matter what's happening in the business, or no matter what's happening in your own life, there are some things that have to be taken care of. You know, the IRS, when they come to investigate a business, if they are being audited, they don't say, well, you know, oh, I didn't know that, you know, you had a new product premiere and you were so busy and had so, you know, so much going on that you weren't able to pay your taxes. Well, why didn't you tell us that? Then we could have just given you a pass. That's not quite how they operate. They expect you to have it there on the date it's supposed to be there. It needs to be deposited, or you're in trouble. And you do that enough times and you're in serious trouble. And they can come in and shut you down. They can shut you down just because you didn't do it according to their rules. So there's certain things you have to do just to take care of business. And I wanted to point out again that it doesn't matter what's going on. There are certain things that have got to be taken care of. You can't violate labor laws. You'll get a lawsuit. And it doesn't matter what a great company you are. One lawsuit on good grounds can take you out. And then, you know, there's just a lot of things, you know. You may have a lot of money, but if you aren't paying your bills, you can go on credit hold, or your suppliers won't ship you. So there's just certain things you have to take care of in a business. Y'all getting this? Well, in the same way in our lives, there's some things, and I'm not going to tell you need to make your house payment even if your dog is sick. That's not what this is about. This is about you spiritually. No matter what's going on in your life, there's some things you have to take care of. Some things you're responsible to do. Maybe that's a better way to say it. There's some things you're responsible for, some things you have to do no matter what's going on. And that's what this series is about. And that's what we're going to start with tonight, talking about some of those things. Because really, there are certain things, certain principles, certain methods of operating in the kingdom of God that everything else hangs on. And they really affect so many areas that these are the basic things. You got to have these bases covered. You got to take care of these things. And it's just that simple. That's what we're going to be talking about. Despite distractions. Any of y'all have distractions? Things that could just get you torn up or torn away from what God's called you to do. Any of you have any pressures? No pressures. A few pressures. You know, pressures. It really doesn't matter. What's happening? If you don't cover the basics, you're going to crash and burn. And I hope you're like the phoenix who can rise from the, you know, the little mass of burning rubble. But if you can, it's best to avoid having to do that, you know. Anyway, tonight we're going to talk about a critical area, and I know you're going to love it because we're going to talk about your mouth. Now, right after we moved here to Augusta Prep, I did a series about the tongue. Do y'all remember that? Some of y'all were here, and I did a tongue about, what was it? Yeah, it was basically 10 things about the tongue. If you didn't get them straightened out, they would mess up your life. And we're not going to go through that tonight. It was one of those, it started out one night, and it just kept growing and growing until it got out of control, and we had to shut it down, how some series do. But anyway, we're going to talk about your mouth, because your mouth is one of those things that can get out of control, like your finances. Your finances can get out of control in a hurry. And your mouth, it can get out of control in a hurry. And your mouth is one of those things, if you don't keep tight reins on it, and you don't watch over it, and you don't have messages like this on a regular basis, it's one of those things that it's a slippery little slope that we're that we're on when it comes to our mouth, and there are just some things that happen there that can be a problem. And so you got to take care of your mouth. You got to take care of your mouth. And why do you have to take care of your mouth? Well, first of all, your mouth controls your life. Or you could say it this way: your life is in your mouth. You know, I've heard business professionals had a guy say to somebody. And I overheard him say this. He said, you know, I can take the books of a business, meaning the financials. I can take the books of any business, and I can look at those books, and I can tell what's going on in the business. And not only can I tell what's going on in the business, but I can make a pretty good prediction about what's going to happen in the business. And if you know about financials, you know how money works and the flow in a business and what's going on, you can tell some things. And before anybody gets involved with you in a business way, they want to see your financials. They want to see your statement, and then they want to see the one that, you know, isn't so glossed over too. They want to see the real deal. It depends on how deep they're getting in with you. They want to see what's going on in your financial area. Well, you know, in your mouth is kind of the same way when it comes to your life, because we can listen to what you're saying, and we can tell what's going on in your life by the things you're saying. And not only can we tell what's going on, but really what you're saying and what's coming out of your mouth is a pretty good indication, not of just where you are, but where you're going. And so not only can we listen to you, but here's something that might help you. You can listen to your mouth and find out really where you are. Because sometimes, you know, I talk about this, sometimes we give ourselves credit for being somewhere we're really not, for having something that we really don't have, for covering something that's not really covered. We just give ourselves that big check mark. Okay, she's talking tonight about the mouth and using our mouths and lining our mouths up with God's word. Okay, I got that covered. I heard that already. I've been to that class. Let me check that off, and I can just kind of sleep here for the rest of the night. Maybe I should give you all an opportunity to exit right now. No, well, what I have found myself is this. Whenever I give myself those big check marks real quick and just go on to the next one, that it's often later on I discover I should never have checked that because it's a problem for me. This is getting me in trouble. And that's how we are, is people, you know, we just like to give ourselves credit. But anyway, when it comes to our mouth, there are a lot of things we can listen to ourselves and find out how we're really doing. We may say, hey, we're not anxious about that, but yet we're talking about it all the time. Oh, I'm not worried. Oh, really? Well, you know, during the last 45 minutes I've been with you, you brought it up 6 times. Maybe you're not worried about it, but you're certainly thinking about it a lot. It certainly, I can hear concern sort of in your voice as you say, praise God for, I just thank God he's taking care of it. I mean, I can tell by listening to you. You can tell by listening to you. What is it you're talking about? What are you saying? That's an indication of what's really going on. And it's not just an indication of what's happening today, but what might be coming up down the road. So we're going to be talking about that. And now, if you will, just turn over in your Bible to Proverbs chapter 1. Proverbs chapter 1. I just want to read you a few scriptures here. I'm just going to begin in verse 1, and you can catch up when you get there. The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel, to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, judgment, and equity, to give prudence to the simple, to the young man knowledge and discretion. So right here, Proverbs 1:1-4, we're getting a clue about what the book of Proverbs is about. The book of Proverbs is about wisdom. It's about people getting understanding. It's about us coming to some insight of a way to live and a way to live right and justly. So that's what the book of Proverbs is about. Did y'all know that? I know you know that. Proverbs is a book of wisdom. But I wanted to turn there for you to see that it is about right living, and it is about living justly and getting instruction about how to live. Now, I wanted to read that to you because of this. A few days ago, I skimmed, and one day I skimmed through the whole, I didn't read every word, but I skimmed through the whole book of Proverbs. I was looking for something and some things, and I started in Proverbs 1, and I went all the way through to the end of Proverbs, and like I said, I didn't read every scripture, but I read parts of every scripture and read a lot of the scriptures. And it overwhelmed me as I went through that book how many scriptures in the book of Proverbs, which is a book about what? Wisdom and understanding and learning how to live right. How many of those scriptures were about our words? How many of those scriptures are about your mouth? Other than the word, you know, other than particularly the description of wisdom and how wisdom functions, the only other, you know, the subject that's mentioned the most is our words. And it may actually be mentioned more. I didn't do some big cross analysis, but I'm just telling you, it's overwhelming how many words, how many scriptures and principles and proverbs are about our mouths and our words. And so if you're going to take care of your business, if you're going to take care of the business of living, you're going to have to do something to watch over your words. You're going to have to do something about your mouth. Now, turn, if you will, to a scripture in Proverbs chapter 18. Proverbs 18. It's a scripture you probably have heard before. Proverbs 18 and verse 21. It says in the New King James, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. Now, the Good News Bible says it this way. I love this. What you say can preserve life or destroy it, so you must accept the consequences of your words. Your mouth. Remember a minute ago I said that your life is in your mouth? The reason I said that was because of the scripture. Death and life are in the power of your tongue. death and what you say can preserve life or destroy it. So you must accept the consequences of your words. So you have the power to give life. You have the power to, in your mouth, to give life or to destroy it, preserve life or to endanger life. All is in your mouth. Moffat says it this way: death and life are determined by the tongue. And then, if you just look up one verse, to verse 20, verse 20 said this: a man's stomach shall be satisfied from the fruit of his mouth, or from what his mouth produces. From the produce of his lips he shall be filled. And then the Good News Bible says it this way: you have to live with the consequences of everything you say. Now, we're talking about taking care of business. There are just certain things you've got to take care of. There are just certain principles you have to line up with, whether you feel like it or not, whether it seems convenient or not, whether you have time or not, whether it seems pressing or not. There are certain things that even if all hell is breaking loose in your life, there are certain things you better make sure that they get done. You know, it's just like when people have financial difficulty and maybe we're helping them through that. You know, to me, it's always smart to make sure you make your house payment. Because, you know, if you lose your cell phone or the cable gets turned off, you know, you might be inconvenienced, but don't lose your house. Would you agree? You'd rather keep your house than maybe have the cell phone or the cable turned off. You know, there are just some things that are pretty important. Let's make sure we get that one taken care of. Well, that's how it is with our mouth. This is something we need to give our attention to, even if everything's awry, even if things are out of kilter, even if there's a lot of pressure, a lot of distractions, even if you are going on vacation, even if you're getting laid off, whatever might be going on in your life, there's something here in our mouths, this whole situation right here, something we need to be on guard about, something we need to be looking into, something we need to make sure we got this covered. This is something we got to take care of. And when it comes to taking care of business, our mouths, we got to keep on guard with our mouths. Now, it says here, life and death are in the power of the tongue. That's why, you know, no matter what's going on, life and death are still in the power of your tongue. No matter what's happening in your life, life and death are still in the power of the tongue, in the power of your tongue. How many of you ever heard this before? How many of you thought about it today? How many of you thought about it this week? You know, every day we need to think about what's coming out of our mouth. Every day we need to think about what's going on with our mouth because, you know, life and death are in the power of our tongue. I mean, this is not like a side issue over here. This is the main deal. This is something you need to keep up with. I want you to understand that. Now, I told you a minute ago I'd read through all Proverbs the other day, and you know, a lot of the things that Proverbs has to say about our mouth has to do with not using your mouth to bring destruction. Not using your mouth to really snare yourself, nor using it against other people to run them down or all the ways you can, or to lie and deceive. There's so many things you can do with your mouth that are destructive, not just to you, but to other people. And in your mouth, I'm telling you, can get you in more trouble than just about anything else. Your mouth. You know, I heard this the other day. There were several ministers had gotten together. Three ministers had gotten together. They wanted to have a weekend and share and just get out in the woods together and kind of relieve themselves from the pressures of ministry. And so they arranged their schedules and they were able to do it. And they rented a cabin at the lake and they went up and had a boat and they'd get up there early in the morning and they'd go out fishing and they'd pray together and all. And over the course of that weekend, they grew close and they felt very comfortable with each other. And so at the last night they were together and they had prayed and they were there together. And one of them suddenly said, you know, I feel very comfortable with you. I feel safe here. He said, you know, I feel like I want to confess something. I have sin in my life and I haven't ever told this to anyone, but I feel like I need to get this off my chest and I want to confess it to y'all. And he said, you know, I've had a problem with drinking. He said, you know, drinking alcohol excessively. He said, in fact, what I've been doing is I've been slipping out of town. Nobody knows this. My wife doesn't know it. I've been slipping out of town, going over to a town not far from where we are, but a place where nobody knows me. And I've been frequenting a bar over there, and I just go over there, and I just drink until I can't drink anymore. And then I just sleep it off, and then I come back home. And he shared it, and you know, it kind of amazed the other two guys. Well, the second guy, one of the other ministers, when he said that, he kind of felt like, well, this is a place I can share. And he opened up and he said, well, you know, what I've been doing is I've been gambling. And I've had a problem with that. And he said, I've tried to deal with it in my life, hadn't been too successful about it. And he said, in fact, we just had a big collection not long ago in the church collected for missions in India. And I took that money, and instead of sending it to India, I went to Vegas and I gambled it all away. I mean, that's pretty bad. Well, the third guy, after these first two opened up, the third guy, he opened up and he said, you know, guys, I probably, if I had known this was going to happen, I should have gone first and went ahead and confessed what was going on with me first, because he said, I have a sin too that I've been keeping secret, and really, I need to let you know what it is. He said, because my big problem is I can't stop myself from gossiping. Okay. Anyway, never mind. But I was just wanting you to know, y'all were really feeling sympathy there on that first guy, so I feel bad about that just a little bit. But anyway, a sloppy mouth, I'm telling you, a sloppy mouth can bring your life down, just like sloppy business practices can take your business out. And you know, I have known personally people who were very good at selling, making a product, distributing a product, people crafting a product, marketing a product, but you know, somehow or another, they just didn't keep the checks and balances in their register, they didn't do the daily ledger, they didn't deposit the payroll taxes they withheld, that somehow got away from them. Just little things here and there, and I tell you, it brought them down. They're not in business anymore today. One thing in a business you have to learn is just to manage the cash flow. Well, the same way in our lives, we have to manage what's coming out of our mouth. And there are many things, many ways you can use your mouth destructively, just like that guy, the gossiper, who went back home and told everybody what was going on with the other two preachers. But with us, there are just a lot of things we can do. But no, and so I'm not going to talk any more about that, because I think you know we can use our mouths destructively. But so death is in the power of the tongue, but also life is in the power of the tongue. How many of you want to get life out of your tongue? You want to use your life, use your tongue to create life and bring life and that. So let's just spend the rest of our time we have here talking about how to use our tongues to, you know, utilize the power of life that's in our tongues to get to that and bring life into our little world and bring life into the places where we have influence. How can we do that? Well, the first way we can do it is this, and it is to use our mouths to create the world that we want. And by the world, I don't mean the world is in another planet. I mean the world that we all have. You have a little world. Some of our worlds may be a slightly larger or smaller, but all of us have a little world. It's where we have influence. It's where our authority is. It's where we are. It's where you go to work, where you go to school, where you come to church. It's your house, your home, your family, your world. And you can use your words to create the world that you want. And it's a scriptural thing to do. And well, let's look in Hebrews chapter 11. Pastor had us reading Hebrews a little earlier. But let's look in Hebrews chapter 11 and see the scriptural basis for using your mouth to create the world you want. Hebrews chapter 11. I'll just read beginning in verse 1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it, by faith, the elders obtained a good testimony. And then verse 3 says, by faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. And verse 3 is where I want us to look. Verse 3 tells us that the worlds were framed by the word of God. And we understand that. We take it on faith, and we understand it through God, you know, and what he did. Somehow or another, he did something that framed the world. And what did he do? He used his word to frame the word of God, the worlds. Now, the Good News Bible says it this way. It says, the universe was created by God's word. Barclay says the universe was constructed by the word of God. Now, this isn't the only place you find this in the scripture. The New King James uses the word framed or put together, like you would frame a house. Now, I've never framed a house, but I've seen houses framed. And houses are framed upon a foundation. Then they're, you know, I love it when a house is framed, because during that framing process, which only takes a few days, relatively speaking, in the life of building a house, framing doesn't take that long. But the framing is when the house starts to become a house. Have you ever noticed that, Deborah? You built a house not long ago. You go out there and there's nothing but mud for a long time, and then there's some concrete and strings and things like that. But one day, there's a floor. And then if you keep coming back, there's studs up, and eventually it you can see the rooms, and you can walk through those studs, and you can say, here's the master bedroom, and here's the closet, and here's the door into the closet, and here's the bathroom, and you can say, here's the kitchen, and there's no sign of a sink anywhere, but you know this is the kitchen. And it's so, have y'all ever done that? You all ever walk through the framing of a house? And you can actually get in your mind what this house is going to be like. And if you're smart and you're building the house, you'll want to go right then while it's being framed, because you want to make sure they're putting the doors where you want them to be. And you want to make sure that they're putting, you know, that if you decide you want a bigger window, that you say, wait a minute, let's put the bigger window now. You know, don't wait till they get the brick up and decide, no, actually, we wanted a bay window. You know, then we're having trouble. But you want to look right during the framing and see what's going on. Well, you know, God used his words to frame the world, just like you frame a house with studs and nails and words. In the same way, God framed the world, but he used his words to do it. He didn't get out a nail, some nails, a bag of nails and a hammer. He used his words to do it. In that same way, you can build your life with your words. Now, what the problem is that this is what most people do. Most people, they have a life, so to speak, that's in a heap. You ever seen the boards before they put them up? They're just a heap. They get delivered Pratt Dudley. They drive up and they dump off Maynard Building Supply. They drive up and they got this big trailer and they dump all these boards off. And you look at those boards and think, that's my house. But it doesn't look much like a house. It's just a bunch of stuff. But eventually, somebody who knows what they're doing can take those boards and some nails and a plan, and they can start putting it together and build something out of it that you'd actually want to live in one day, that you'd actually be proud to call your own one day, that actually you'd go to the bank and borrow a great amount of money to pay for and sign your life away for the next 30 years, because somebody used those boards to frame up something that you want. But have you ever seen anybody that they have a bunch of stuff, but they start putting it together and it's a mess? I mean, it's nothing more frustrating to me than to go out to open houses and to walk through houses and think, you know, we could have used these materials to actually build a decent house that somebody would want to live in. I was in a house it's been months ago, but I was in a house. This was here in Augusta. This house was on the market for $759,000. The bedroom door going into the master bedroom. Hope none of you bought this house, because I'm about to make fun of your house. The door going into the master bedroom was a glass door. This door was off of the great room. There was the great room, a glass door. I'm talking glass in the master bedroom. And I was thinking, who's going to live in this house? Obviously someone who doesn't have children. So why do they need the other four bedrooms? Because they don't, you know, I could not figure it out. It was obviously the master bedroom, because off that room was a huge master bathroom. And adjacent to it was a huge master closet. It was the master bedroom, but it had glass doors. Does that make sense? Does anybody here see the wisdom in that? I don't. We'll talk later if you don't understand. But it just didn't make a lot of sense to me. Well, you know, I'm standing there going, I can't believe they put all this money into this house. It's wacko. It's wacky. And that's how some people's lives are. Some people, they've used their words to frame their world, all right, but it wasn't the world they wanted. And actually, you're using your words to frame your world. But you look at your world sometimes and go, this isn't what I had in mind. This isn't what I wanted. This isn't what anybody would want. How did I wind up with this mess? You and your words. They brought about a mess in your life. And that's a principle that no matter what's going on, you still got to keep in mind. I'm using my mouth to frame my world. I'm using my mouth to create a world here. And this world that I'm creating, I need to create it on purpose. And I need to create what I actually want, something I've thought about and put some planning into, and something that's going to be somewhere I want to live, somewhere that I actually will enjoy, not just a little sad life that I feel like I need to apologize for or feel sad about myself. a world that you actually frame on purpose. Because over in Genesis chapter 1, that's what God did. Over in Genesis 1, God had a mess on his hands. Genesis chapter 1 and verse 2. The Hebrew says that the earth was tohu ba-bohu. We call it without form and void, but it's really, it was in utter chaos. Genesis 1, 2, the earth was in utter chaos. It was without form, it was void, it was a mess. And God was facing that. He was there, the Spirit of God was hovering over that mess, looking at that mess, saying, what am I going to do with this mess? And he was making a plan of what this mess could actually be, what this mess could be turned into, what this chaos, how he could bring order to the chaos and make something that was beautiful and pleasurable, something that would be productive and fruitful, something that would count for something, a world that could be enjoyed, not just a mess. And so he decided to do something about it, and when he did, he started out framing his world, this world that's now our world. He framed the world and he gave it to Adam. But he framed the world and he framed it by his words. And we know from verse 3, and then God said, the first thing we need to do in framing this world and creating this world is we need some light. And so he got light because he called light. He said, let there be light. And then there was light. And so he started hammering in and getting light. And then in verse 6, he said, we got to divide up. We got water everywhere and we need to divide up the water. So he called in and he framed with his words. He said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters and let it divide the waters. And so he added that. That's what we needed next. And then he went down in verse 9 and he said, used his words to bring the waters under the heavens to be gathered together in one place so that dry land could appear. You see what he's doing? Step by step by step, God was framing this world, which eventually became planet Earth. And, well, it was planet Earth. He was framing a literal world with his words. But, you know, I'm not talking about making your own planet. I'm talking about your own world. God framed the world with his words. And if God can frame the world with his words, you can frame your world. You can't frame mine, but you can frame yours with your words. And start saying to your world what you want it to be and speaking. Maybe there's chaos going on in your world and maybe you need some peace in your world. Well, you can call peace into your world. I just speak peace over. Maybe it's your home. Maybe there's no peace in your home. You can just speak peace over your home. And I don't mean you have to get like whacked out and funky. I'm talking about you can just walk through your house and say, I just call peace into this home. We need peace in this home. And I speak peace to my home. And start framing your world. Maybe it's something on your job. Maybe on your job things haven't been going so well. Maybe business is down and you need customers to come in the door. Well, one, you can start framing that with the words of your mouth. Whatever it is that you need in life, you can frame your world with your words. And bring something into being that hasn't been there before. Now, you think, well, that's kind of crazy. Look over in Romans chapter 7. Let me show you something else that God did. You know, Pastor read a scripture earlier about imitating those who through faith and patience inherited the promises. And we are to follow those in the scripture who obtained the promises. It's a scripturally sound practice to follow other believers who have obtained the promise that you may know. But I tell you, the scripture says that Jesus has been given as our example. And there are other scriptures that say we are to imitate God himself. And so while it's certainly a sound practice to imitate people in the scripture, even to imitate brothers and sisters in Christ, I tell you, the ultimate is to follow him and imitate him and be imitators of Jesus and ultimately imitators of our Father who is in heaven. Live the way that he lives and do what he does. And so over in Romans chapter 4, it tells us what he did and how not just what he did, but how he does and what it is, one of the principles he operates on. And I think this is very critical to taking care of the business that here we call life. Romans 4:17, the second part of the verse, it's a description about God. You see there in the middle of the verse, there's kind of a dash or a hyphen, and then it says God. God, and it's going to give us a little description about God. God, who gives life to the dead and calls those things which do not exist as though they did. The King James says, calls things that be not as though they were. So in other words, things that be not or things that don't exist, he calls them like they do exist. Like the day that he walked out and said, in the midst of chaos, in the midst of darkness, in the midst of tohu bavohu, he looks out, he's hovering over the face of the deep, and he says, light be. Because at that point there was no light, but we needed light. He needed light to frame his world. And so he said, light be, and the Bible says, light was. And that's the way he operates. He used those words to frame the world in that same way. That's the same principle as he's there and he's calling something into being that's not into being yet. He calls things that be not as though they were. He calls things that do not exist, I read from the New King James, things which do not exist as though they did. Moffat's translation says this way. It says it this way. It says, a God who calls into being what does not exist. And another translation says, he is talking like it already exists. So he looks at something and sees where something might be lacking or where something is needed, and instead of saying, oh, what great lack, what total darkness there is here in this planet, this messy, awful, chaotic planet, there's no record that that's what he said. I'm sure he thought that. But instead of just spouting that off, he looks out at the darkness and realizes, I have darkness already. There's no point in calling more darkness. There's no point in speaking darkness. There's no point in making, you know, a grand sweeping statement about how dark it is. Instead, he wanted to do something about the darkness. So what did he do? He called in something that would reverse the darkness, which was light. And he called light in and said, light be. And you know, you just read through, you don't even have to read the New Testament, just read the Old Testament. And he said to a guy named Abraham, who was an old man, who had a wife, who was an old woman, and he said to him, he said, and an old man who had no kids, and he said to this old man who had no kids, he said, I'm going to make you the father of many nations, which is craziness. You would talk to somebody old enough to be a great-great-granddaddy and his shriveled-up little wife. I guess she wasn't that shriveled up. Somewhere along the way, she got good-looking because the king wanted her. But anyway, he's talking to some people who are rather old, and he's talking to them and saying, and they've never been able to have kids in all their years, but somehow or another, he's going to bring kids to them. And he didn't talk to them about being childless. He talked to them about having kids and bringing kids. So he's calling things, which is the way he does things, he calls things which do not exist as though they did. And that's part of you using your words to create the world you want. Not complaining about what you do have, but calling in what it is you do want to have. Not just focused on what is there, but what do you want? What do you need? What situation? What does the situation warrant that I can bring in? Because I'm telling you, everybody can talk about how bad it is, but few people can do something about how bad it is. Everybody can talk about how things are going down, and everybody can complain about how dark it is, but only God could bring light, and we're representatives of Him. We ought to be able to bring light in darkness. We ought to be able to do something in a situation where something's lacking. We ought to be able to bring into that situation what is needed. Which leads us to our next point, and if you will, just turn in your Bible over to James chapter 3. Another way we can use our mouths and harness the power of life that's in our mouths is to turn around situations that need turning around. James chapter 3. James had a lot to say about words, and it's interesting to me because this book of James was written by James, the brother of Jesus. James was Jesus' little brother. He grew up in the same home Jesus did and knew Jesus. I'm not sure how much younger he was than Jesus, but he grew up in the same house and knew him as a brother, as a natural brother. And it's interesting that the guy who knew Jesus as a natural brother, because, you know, we all here know each other, but you don't live with me. You know what I mean? Don't say thank God back there. You don't live with me. And when you live with somebody, you get to know them. Do you remember when you first started living with your husband or your wife? Maybe you used to know them. You know, you dated them. But there's a big difference between dating and living with somebody. You know, it's just... Bobby. Yeah, there's a big difference between it. There's a big difference. You know, you date and they smell good, and then you live with them and they don't always smell good. And, you know, you just find out some things about people. Well, and all the other things that go on. But anyway, James lived with Jesus, so he didn't just see him out on the ministry trail. He didn't just see him when he was out talking and you know, and all in front of the people. He didn't just know him in that sense. He knew him because he lived with him. And, you know, siblings know things about each other. And they see things in each other. Believe me, we have four kids, and believe me, it never ceases to amaze me how well they know each other. How well they know just what to say to irk their brother or sister, just what to do. But they know. But James knew Jesus in that sense. And James, and I say all that to say this, James is the guy who wrote this, the guy who lived with Jesus, the guy who knew Jesus as a brother. And I think that he learned this. He learned this by living with Jesus and watching what Jesus did. He learned this from Jesus, and he learned it by seeing how Jesus conducted his life and what he did and how Jesus turned situations around using his mouth. Because Jesus did do that. I'm not going to take time to go and read through the Gospels where he did it, but Jesus did it. Over in James chapter 3, well, we'll just read here in verse 2. For we all stumble in many things, but if anyone does not stumble in word, he's a perfect or mature man, able also to bridle the whole body. That's why you just read that scripture there and you know for sure. If you're going to take care of business, you're going to have to take care of your mouth. Because your mouth, it says here, if you can get a hold of your mouth and take care of your mouth, your whole body will follow. And then verse 3, indeed we put bits in horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn their whole body with this bit in their mouth. Look also at ships, although they are so large and are driven by fierce winds, they are turned by a very small rudder wherever the pilot desires. Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasts great things. See how great a forest a little fire kindles. Because you're, like I said, you're in this case, the tongue can be used for destruction, but in the same way that a little rudder can turn a big ship, your tongue can turn your life. The same way that bit turns that horse, that mighty, strong animal is turned by a bit in his mouth attached to a rope in your hand. In that same sense, you can turn your whole life, situations in your world, in your life, you can turn it around with your mouth. And, well, we all know very much how you can turn something that's really going good, you can turn it south real bad, you know, real fast with your mouth. I mean, we've all had that experience. Any of you ever messed up a really good opportunity by the words you said? You know, maybe you were talking, you had a good business deal going, and the next thing you know, you just blurted out something that just was not the thing to say. And suddenly, it just dried up in front of you. Maybe you had a good romantic opportunity and you said something that didn't go too good. I don't know, but we've all been there for that. Just ruined something real well with our mouth. Well, in the same way that you can mess things up, you can also make things right with your mouth. You can turn it the way that you want to go. You know, if I was piloting a plane tonight and I was headed north, I'm piloting this plane, I'm flying, headed north. The only problem is I actually don't want to go north, I want to go west. But I'm headed north, and I'm sitting there in that cockpit, and I don't know how many of you have ever flown a small plane or been in a small plane, you know. They're like basically flying in a Volkswagen with wings on it. They're just real small, and they kind of smell like oil, and you're in there. But you're realizing your life is in your own hands. You're flying along. You're headed north, and you're thinking, I don't want to go this way. Y'all ever been going somewhere in life you didn't want to go? Ever had a situation going a way you didn't want it to go? You're flying along, and you're thinking, man, I sure wish I wasn't going north. And so how am I going to... What can I do to turn it? I know what I'll do. I'll call traffic control and tell them I don't want to go north, I want to go west. And they can turn me. I'll call them. So you pick up your radio, you radio in, you tell them, identify yourself, give your identifying numbers, tell them you're heading, I'm headed north here, but I don't want to go north, I want to go west. You know what they're going to tell you? They're going to say, why are you calling us? we give you permission to go west. And you go, well, I want you to turn me west. What are they going to tell you? What are they going to tell you? That they can't turn you west. Why are they going to tell you they can't turn you west? You're in control of the plane. You get this? So you're in the plane and you call them and they said, oh yeah, it's fine with us. Yeah, actually we want you to go west too. But we can't make you go west. You're going to have to do something about it. Then you're just, here I am, I'm just flying along. I'm still going north. Sure wish I could go west. Wonder what else I could do. Air traffic control couldn't help me. Wonder who else can help me. Oh, I know what I'll do. I'll wake up my brother in the Lord here who's with me. I'll wake him up and I'll get him to help me. So wake him up. Brother wakes up. Brother, can you agree with me that we're going to go west? You know, you and him can agree all day you're going to go west. But I keep mixing up my analogy. Sometimes you're flying and sometimes I am, but hopefully you can stay with me. Okay, I'll pick one and stay with it. Okay. Susie, I can't help you. If you want to go west, I'm all in agreement with you, but you're going to have to do something about going west. I can't make us go west. It's in your control. I don't know how to fly this thing. Okay, now it's up to me again. But I'm still headed north. I'm headed north. You know what? I know what I need. I need a strong wind to come and to blow me west. If I can just get a strong wind to come, it can blow me off my course and it can blow me west. So I'm sitting here waiting. It's going to come. I'm sure it is. It's going to come. Is it going to come? Now I'm going to tell you, I know that all sounded probably pretty stupid to you, but that's the way most people live their lives. They don't want to go where they're going, but they don't realize, even though people tell them, you have to do something about where you're going. They don't want to do anything about it, or they feel powerless in some way. They don't realize that actually the controls are in their hands. And literally, James tells us, they're not just in your hands, they're in your mouth. And all day and all night, until you run out of gas, you can fly north and want to go west, but you're not going to go west until you put that plane in a bank, and you press the rudder, and you actually go off to the west. That's just what's going to take. And that's the same way it works. Our mouths are rudders in our lives, and our mouths determine where we're going to go. So, you know, I just ask you this. Where are you headed in your life? Is it where you want to go? And if it's not where you want to go, you need to do something about your mouth and where your mouth is taking you. You need to do something about the words that you're saying over your life, that you're saying about your life. Are you calling your life to be what you want it to be? Or are you just complaining about what it is? Are you using your mouth to turn your life around? Or are you just telling everybody how it is and complaining because I never intended to go north. I don't know how I got here. Or are you doing something with your mouth? Because I tell you, most of us know about this and we forget about it on a regular basis. Most of us know about this and we do it sometimes. Most of us know enough about this that we don't necessarily use our mouths as a force of destruction, but do we actually utilize and harness the life-giving power that's in our mouths? And that's a question. And finally, the last thing is this. To utilize that life-giving force that's in our mouth, we can and should and ought to be moving obstacles out of the way with our mouth. So creating the world we want, turning situations around, and moving obstacles out of the way. Mark chapter 11, and I'll read to you the words of Jesus. One of the times that the scripture talks about using your mouth, and I'll show you another one over in Zechariah very quickly. Mark chapter 11 and verse 22. So Jesus answered and he said to them, to his disciples, have faith in God, for assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. It's interesting that Jesus put the responsibility squarely upon us for moving mountains in our lives. He said, when there are mountains, there's a situation, a mountain represents an obstacle, a hindrance, something you don't want in your life. Jesus said that you, whoever has the mountain, says to the mountain, to speak to the mountain and say something to the mountain. In other words, to tell the mountain to do something. In this case, tell the mountain to be cast in the sea, to tell the mountain to get out of your way, to tell the hindrance to go, to do something, to speak to the mountain, not just talk about the mountain, not just pray about the mountain, but to speak to the mountain. And God spoke over to Zechariah. If you want to, you can turn in your Bible over to the book of Zechariah, which is right before Malachi. Zechariah chapter 4. Zechariah was a prophet under the old covenant, and he was living in a time where Israel was building back the temple, and they had gotten far enough where they had built the altar back, but after they built the altar, they got to a point where the enemies of Israel kept coming in and disrupting them, particularly the Samaritans. And what they would do is they would get legal. They would take legal action against them, so they couldn't build the temple. And they would go before the Persians who were ruling in the area at that time, and they would stand in their way with all kinds of obstacles. It wasn't so much they were fighting them physically, they were fighting them legally, with ordinances and all against them. And so it was a very frustrating process that Zechariah was going through, trying to get the building of the temple going again and getting the building of the temple completed. And he was praying about it and crying out to God about it, and he had a vision in chapter 4. And this is a scripture you've heard before, probably, here in verse 6. The Lord spoke to Zechariah, and he said to me, Zechariah's about to tell us what the Lord said, "This is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. Who are you, O great mountain, before Zerubbabel? You shall become a plain." Here's a mountain, an obstacle, a hindrance that's in his way. "You shall become a plain, and he shall bring forth the capstone with shouts of grace." Grace to it. And what really the Lord is saying to him here is this. You got problems, you got hindrances, you got things getting in your way, but I tell you, you're not a match for it by your own strength, by your own, not by man's power. It's not going to get the job done. And have any of y'all ever had obstacles or circumstances that were like that? Just your own means or your own ability, there was no way you could take care of this mountain. And that's what he was facing. It was a hindrance, an obstacle. And the Lord said to him, you're not going to accomplish it that way. What you need is you need me. You need my spirit. You need my power to take care of this. And the way you tap into that, in fact, that whole mountain will become a plain for you, and you'll bring forth a capstone, and you'll do it, you'll finish the thing by saying, "Grace, grace to it, grace, grace to it." In other words, grace, and we know Pastor's been talking about grace every week almost since November, grace is God's ability added to our ability. Where we're weak and where we're lacking, He's strong, and He fills us up and makes us able. And really, it's God's power coming on people, enabling people to do what they could never do themselves. And God said, you'll be able to do this if you'll speak grace to it. So speaking to a mountain, you're speaking God's power. Grace to you. Jesus said, speak to it and tell it to get out of the way. But there are situations that are obstacles that you cannot do anything about. But you have to speak to them. You have to say something to them. You can't just let them sit there, and you can't just sit there and whine about it while they're looking at you and looming over you. You got to do something about them. And one thing that God spoke to Zechariah and said, look, you got to speak to it. Speak grace to it. If you don't have anything else to say to it, just speak grace to it. Just say grace, grace to it, grace, grace to it. And I tell you, there are some situations that that's about all you can say to them. I know several years ago I had a situation I was dealing with, and I had done every single thing you could ever possibly be thought of by human imagination. I had done it 6 times, over and again. Literally, I cannot tell you what blood, sweat, and tears went into trying to change the situation. Could do nothing about it. And I saw this in the scripture. And so I made a practice. I didn't pray about it anymore. All I did was say, grace, grace to you, grace. Grace to you. God's power working on you. Grace to you. And I would tell it what Jesus said. I'd say, get out of the way. Grace is moving you out of the way. Now get out of the way. Grace to you. Grace to you. And the thing started turning around. The thing started moving out of the way. The hindrance started dissipating and moving. Thank God for grace. And so that's one way that you can use your mouth to bring life and to give life. I was checking to see if I had any more scriptures. To bring life and to give life is by using your mouth to speak grace to something, tell something to get out of the way, and then speak grace, God's power. Because God's power is what moves it out of the way. It's God's power. It's not you and your ability, or it'd be out of the way. It's God's grace. Praise God. Well, we close all of our midweek booth services with prayer, and I went a little bit longer than normal tonight, but we're going to still take our last few minutes here, and we're going to pray together, if you're up for it. Y'all up for prayer tonight? You may not be up for prayer when you come in, but by the end you need prayer, so we have to pray before you go home. Praise God. Hallelujah. I think maybe we should just act on what we just heard here. And maybe you need to do one of these things. Maybe you need to create some things in your world. Start working on framing your world with your words. Maybe you need to turn some situations around. Start saying, we're going west here instead of north. Or maybe you need to speak grace to something or speak to a mountain to get out of the way. I don't know what you might need to do.